I watched the policeman put Zach and the other three boys in his car. Driving away, he turned on his siren and red light, which seemed unnecessary, but I guess he didn't want to disappoint the audience on the sidewalk. I sat in the truck like I had frozen, and the world had frozen around me. The crowd faded away, and all the cars downtown went home one by one. People closed up their stores. I stared through the windshield as if I was watching the test pattern that came on television at midnight. After the shock wore off some, I tried to think what to do, how to get home. Zach had taken the keys, or I might have tried driving myself, even though I didn't know gears from brakes. There wasn't a store open now to ask to use a phone, and when I spotted a payphone down the street, I realized I didn't have a dime. I got out of the truck and walked. When I got to the pink house a half hour later, I saw August, June, Rosaline, Neil, and Clayton Forrest gathered in the long shadows near the hydrangeas. The murmur of their voices floated up into the dying light. I heard Zach's name. I heard Mr. Forrest say the word jail. I guessed that Zach had called him with his one phone call, and here he was, breaking the news. Neil stood next to June, which told me they hadn't really meant all that "don't you come back" and "you selfish bitch" they'd hurled at each other. I walked toward them, unnoticed. Someone down the road was burning grass clippings. The whole sky smelled sour green, and stray pieces of ash flicked over my head. Coming up behind them, I said, "August?" She pulled me to her. "Thank goodness. Here you are. I was about to come looking for you." I told them what had happened as we walked back to the house. August's arm was around my waist like she was afraid I'd keel over again in a blind faint. But really, I had never been more present. The blue in the shadows, the shape of them against the house, how they looked like certain unkind animals, a crocodile, a grizzly bear. The smell of Alka-Seltzer circulating over Clayton Forrest's head, the white part in his hair, the weight of our caring strapped around our ankles. We could hardly walk for it. We sat in the ladder-back chairs around the kitchen table, except for Rosaline, who poured glasses of tea and set a plate of pimento cheese sandwiches on the table, as if anybody could eat. Rosaline's hair was done up in perfect cornrow plaits, which I guessed May had done for her after supper. "Now, what about bail?" August said. Clayton cleared his throat. "Judge Monroe is out of town on vacation, so nobody's getting out before next Wednesday, it looks like." Neil stood up and walked over to the window. His hair was cut in a neat square at the back. I tried to concentrate on it to keep from breaking down. Next Wednesday was 5 days from now. 5 days. "Well, is he all right?" asked June. "He wasn't hurt, was he?"
"They only let me see him for a minute," said Clayton. "But he seemed all right."
Outside, the night sky was moving over us. I was aware of it, aware of the way Clayton had said he seemed all right, as if we all understood he wasn't, but would pretend otherwise. August closed her eyes, used her fingers to smooth out the skin on her forehead. I saw a shiny film across her eyes, the beginning of tears. Looking at her eyes, I could see a fire inside them. It was a hearth fire you could depend on. You could draw up to and get warm by if you were cold, or cook something on that would feed the emptiness in you. I felt like we were all adrift in the world, and all we had was the wet fire in August's eyes. But it was enough. Rosaline looked at me, and I could read her thoughts. "Just because you broke me out of jail, don't get any bright ideas about Zach." I understood how people became career criminals. The first crime was the hardest. After that, you're thinking, what's one more? A few more years in the slammer? Big deal.
"What are you gonna do about this?"
said Rosaline, standing beside Clayton, looking down at him. Her breasts sat on her stomach, and her fists were planted in her hips. She looked like she wanted us all to fill our lips with snuff and go directly to Tiburon jail and spit on people's shoes. It was plain Rosaline had fire in her, too. Not hearth fire like August, but fire that burns the house down, if necessary, to clean up the mess inside it. Rosaline reminded me of the statue of Our Lady in the parlor, and I thought, if August is the red heart on Mary's chest, Rosaline is the fist.
I'll do my best to get him out, said Clayton, but I'm afraid he's got to stay in there a little while.